This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We fix our eyes on you, Father. And what we've been singing, Father, what we've been hearing beforehand as well. We've got to bow our knees, Father. To bow our knees before you, how awesome and how great you are. You are the creator of heaven and earth, Father. That we've got a privilege that we can come to you, that we can spend time with you. That you want to speak into our heart, that you're waiting for our heart to open up, that we can hear from you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that we can have a relationship with you, Father. But it's still up to us, Father, who's got to come to you. It's still up to us, Father, who's got to come each and every time to you, Father. You're a gentleman. You're not forcing yourself down on us, Father. In this afternoon, Father, we come. We bow down before you, creator of heaven and earth, who wants to be our Father. Thank you, Father, that we can come, that we can listen to you. Father, the enemy is trying to draw our minds away. He's trying to disturb. He's trying that we're not going to receive what you want to share with us this afternoon. But Father, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we've got authority. And that we can say we bind that power of the enemy so that we can hear you, Father, crystal clear, that you speak into our hearts, Father. That our eyes are wide open, that our ears are wide open, and that we are quiet to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord has been speaking to someone during worship, so please come and share. You got a picture, or you got a word, or God told you something, please come and share.
I always think everyone gets word. I just felt from the first song that God says, everything we sing is a declaration to Him, a beautiful fragrance as we prayed before the sermon. And I saw this old, I don't know if they had lamps like that. It looks like an old teapot kind of thing where the oil can come out of the spout and then the flame is in there. Is it? I don't know. But that was the picture that I have. And it made a beautiful fragrance. And don't think that when we're singing, it's nothing. It is beautiful to God. He loves it, and He enjoys it when He hears our how we sing to Him and how we honor Him. And so that was it.
Thanks, Lord. That light is coming a little bit later. Well, who likes to sleep? I see a few are not able, or they are not quite sure if they can put up their hand. I'm not going to say if you're going to fall asleep during the sermon that you're not going to get coffee or tea, but it's just a matter of that we like to sleep. It's something what we've got to do as well. Like we've got to eat food, we've got to drink water, we've got to get oxygen, we've got to get sleep. Our body is telling us we can try to live a few days without food, not to drink any water, or not to breathe for half a minute. But at a certain time, our body is telling us, wait a moment, we need it. And sleep is exactly the same as that. We need it. We need to do it because our body is telling us that to do. But it takes time. Sleep takes time. On average, we sleep anything between 7 to 8 hours, 9 hours, which would mean if you get 75 years old, you would have been sleeping 25 years of your lifetime, you would have been sleeping. So if you buy a bed, buy a good bed. But when we sleep, we also can receive from God. God can give us visions. God can give us dreams. And when we sleep, we can have a quiet sleep because we do not have to be afraid. David is saying it in one of his psalms. There are other psalms as well when he is saying that he is at wake at night, that he can't sleep. But over here he says in Psalms 4, verses 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. He knows that the Father protects him, so he can sleep well. I haven't got a problem to sleep at night. As soon as my head hits the cushion, I'm gone. And Renee still wants to talk to me, but I'm far away. I haven't got a problem with sleep. And when I'm awake, I'm awake. Whatever has got to happen, has got to happen. But I want to sleep now. And if it is very important, it will wake me up. If it's not important, I will carry on with sleeping. But when we go into sleep, we basically become passive. We cannot do anything anymore. We cannot be productive. Because those who are working are getting a salary for the time you're working. You're not getting a salary for the time when you're sleeping. Am I correct? Okay, if you find such a job, then please let me know. Renee will be a millionaire just now. But God doesn't want to speak to us today about the sleeping, but about the awake, the being awake, because that's much more important. And getting awake, all of us have got to get awake in the morning. We've got to go and we've got to go to work or to study or whatever we've got to do. It's not always nice. A month ago we were in London and our grandson James had fallen asleep and he was, I nearly would say, sitting next to me and he was far away. And we ordered some food and we had something to eat and we had chips or patat in Dutch, what we had to eat. And that's his favorite food. So I woke him up with the good news. Because I woke him up and said, James, James. And I started talking to him. I said, James, I've got food for you. James, it's your favorite food. I've got food for you. And then you could see his eyes still, he was waking up. I put one of those chips in his hand. I put it around it. He could feel it. And then he could feel it and he could see it. And it was heaven on earth for him. And he started eating without actually being awake. He started eating. But he had to wake up because he had slept enough that afternoon. I had permission from the mum and from the grandmother, so I could do it. But all of us have got to wake up. And sometimes people are waking us up because there's an urgency. Like they also woke up Jesus in the storm-tossed boat in Luke 8, verses 24. And they came to him and awoke him and said, Master, Master, we are perishing. Jesus was passive over there. He was not doing anything. He was not doing anything to help it that the boat wasn't going to sink. And then they came to him. Jesus was at peace because he knew his Father was in control, irrespective of what was happening over there. And we can, physically, we can be awake. Our eyes can be open. Our ears can be open. We can be busy with our body, but spiritually, we can be asleep. And God is talking to us today about that spiritual sleep, about awakening from that spiritual sleep that we are awake. We've got to wake out of that spiritual sleep. And when we awake out of that spiritual sleep, there's actually not sleeping anymore because we are constantly awake. Ephesians 5, verses 14, it says, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Awake, I'm going to the Greek word over here for a simple reason. A little bit later, I'll come back again to this word. The word awake, egiro, it means to waken, to rouse, literally from sleep or from sitting or from lying or from a disease or from death. And figuratively, from obscurity, from inactivity, from ruins, from non-existence, to awake, to lift up, to raise, to rear up, to stand up, and to take up. So you can see there's something happening over there in that word, in that Greek word. The scripture says, therefore he says, and Paul is most probably referring to what Jesus has said, something like this. But if we go into the Gospels, we will never find these words, because Jesus never said something like that. We can find something like that in Isaiah, but then we've got to add, copy and paste a few of those verses, and then we will get to the awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. It's the same as that other verse, what we also know. It's more blessed to give than to receive. In Acts, they're also referring to say that Jesus has said something like that. But if we go to the Gospels, to the four Gospels, we will never find it saying over there. So maybe they spoke about it. Maybe it was a saying what they used. Maybe it was a song what they've been singing, that it was quite common. Awake, who you sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Because Jesus is telling there, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You've got to awake from your spiritual sleep. Because if your spiritual sleep, you're dead. You do not mean anything. There's not a living relationship between you and God. We heard it with the offering, the message. We heard it from Yolandi as well. There has got to be a living relationship with God. And if we are asleep, we haven't got that living relationship with God. We are dead. And it says, awake. Awake, you are asleep. Awake, because if you're asleep, you're in danger. You're running a risk. Arise, stand up. Put off your sinful situation. And Christ will give you light. It's not a matter of that Christ will give you light like this. But Christ will actually go over you and he will lighten you up. Even the word enlighten is used, which sometimes is not so nice to use nowadays. But Christ is lightening you up. And then we give a light, the same as what that light, that small light is. We are giving a light, we are giving a frequency then. The Amplified is saying it maybe a little bit easier for us to understand. Therefore he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, shall make a day dawn upon you and give you light. We've got to be awake. But it's not a matter of just getting awake. We've got to stay awake. That is the most important thing. And that's what God wants to speak to us about, is that, and I trust all of us are awake, but that we are aware of it, that we've got to remain constantly, that we've got to stay awake. We've got to be awake. We've got to be alert. I'm going to read just now a portion out of Revelations 3, 1 to 6, where there's one of the letters to the church of Sardis. And Sardis was actually a very important capital. It was a very large capital in the Lydian monarchy. And at that time, it was one of the biggest cities in the ancient world. So all the people knew about it. And it was also known for quite a few things. It was manufacturing and dyeing delicate clothes and carpets already at that time. And it is also most probably the place where the first silver and gold coins have been minted, where they've been pressed. But in 17 AD, it was totally destroyed by an earthquake. The Romans, they tried to rebuild it again, but were not that much successful. And then in 1402, there was an emperor from the Empire of Central Asia. He totally wiped it from the map. At the moment, there are ruins, but you can go and have a look. Impressive ruins, apparently. But town-wise, it doesn't exist anymore. And this is a letter now which is written to that Sardis, which was so important at that time. And I feel there's something in this letter what is important for us as well. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your work, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who do not have defiled their garment, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is a letter which is written to that church. And there are a few things in what I just wanted to focus on. The one is, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. From the outside, it looked that the church was alive, that things were happening on in the inside. But spiritually wise, they were dead. They were not doing what God was asking them to do. And then it says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Now, be watchful, the Greek word is gregorio. And the root of that word is the same as that awake, where we spoke just now about. There you can see the link. Be watchful. Be continuously awake. Always be awake. Never be asleep. Always be awake. And strengthen the things which remain. What's also interesting in this part, even a little bit later, where it says, I will not blot out his name from the book of life. If we are saved, our name is written in the book of life. But if our life is not showing that we are a Christian, the name can be blotted out. This is what the word says. So it's not a matter of once you're saved, your name is written in, and you can lay back and wait for the second coming of Christ. No. Your name can be blotted out from the book of life. Matthew 26:41, we read exactly the same. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The watch, exactly the same word as the be watchful where we spoke about just now. We've got to be awake. We've got to be continuously awake. We've got to be awake and we've got to pray. We've got to be awake and we've got to pray. We've got to be awake and we've got to be a pray. That's continuously what God is telling us to do. We've got to be awake. That we're not going into temptation, because if we're going into temptation, we're falling asleep. And then sins of the world are going to eat us up, and we're falling asleep, and we're not active anymore, and we are dead. We're spiritually dead. Right, that was in Sardis, that was in the Bible. Now we come to Shofar. Now we come to Shofar, Utrecht, a little bit closer to home. In the last intercessions, and Urbanus also mentioned it with the offering of the announcements, we on a Tuesday always come together and then we pray and we hear what God is telling us to do. And we can see a certain pattern that God is telling us. And we can see it in the sermons as well. Cleanse your... God is busy with cleansing his bride. God is preparing us. God is telling us. God is telling us how we've got to listen to him. God is continuously busy with us about a relationship between him and us. He continuously wants to, what just now has been mentioned and by the two of you as well, that relationship, that's what he wants to have with us. And he's telling us and he's revealing to us of what is happening so that we are ready. Because we continuously seek what God is telling us to do. It's not a matter of that we say, okay, it's not this time of the year, according to the calendar, we must preach about this or that. No, we listen what God is telling us to do. And the same on the Tuesday, we listen what God is telling us. And God is telling us. He wants to have a true and honest relationship with us. The Bible refers 5 times more to the second coming of Jesus than the first coming of Jesus. And I just want to repeat that again. It was for me a little bit of an eye-opener when I read it last week. The Bible refers 5 times more to the second coming of Jesus than to the first coming of Jesus. There's even another guy who writes, he says it's 8 times more, but I think 5 is already enough. It's already convincing enough. If we know then that he came the first time, how much more we can be sure that he will also come a second time. And that's what is, we are between the first coming and the second coming, and the second coming is going to come because we've got a proof of the first coming. And then we've got 5 times more referrals in the Bible that it is going to come. And I'm inviting you now to become part of the disciples who are speaking to Jesus in Matthew 24 and 25. It is that last part where Jesus was, a few days before he was arrested, where he was sitting with the disciples and he was speaking to them. And I think we can understand it. Then you discuss the most important things. Because they've been with him now nearly 3 years, and then you do a type of a summary, I can actually say, because it, guys, watch it, this and this and this and this and this. And if we go through it, then we can see how important it is, because it's all about a relationship with God. Jesus started Matthew 24, and he says, the sign of the end times, it is going to come. The great tribulation, it's going to come. The appearance of Son of Man in heaven coming on the clouds. When he went up, they said to the disciples, he's going to come back the same way on the clouds. Jesus was talking about the parables of the 10 virgins, those who didn't have oil in their lamp anymore, who couldn't shine the light anymore because they didn't think about it. They were busy with other things. The parables of the 10 talents. What did the guys do with what has been given to them? Did they use the opportunities which God has given to them? The 5 and the 2, yes. But the guy with the 1 talent, he didn't use the opportunities. He didn't use them. And then Jesus finishes that when the Son of Man is coming back, that he's going to divide the sheep on the right and then the goats on the left. And you may be going to say, but wait a moment, this is heaven or hell. Yes. And it's very hard. Yes, it is. And you can say, but yeah, but shouldn't you sugarcoat it a little bit more? I don't think so. This is very important. And if we're not going to realize it, and if we're not going to understand it, then we're basically saying, God, what you want to do, I do not agree with it. I'm not going to be affected with it. All of us are going to be affected. All of us are going to be or on the right-hand side or on the left-hand side of Jesus. We're going to be on one of those two sides. There is no gray area in between. We get it many times on a Thursday evening when we go and evangelize, that the people say, if there's a loving God, then that loving God is going to allow me into heaven. And the things what I've done wrong in my life, that I had 2 or 3 husbands and in marriage and out of marriage and children and this and that, he's going to forgive those sins because he's a loving God. And this is how they want to make God the way they think God has got to be. But God is speaking to us and says, this is who I am. And this is how I want to have a relationship with you. And this is where we can go back to the Bible and where we can read. And after he has divided the sheep on the right and the goats on the left, Jesus tells them to the people on his right, and he says, you are going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then he carries on in Matthew 25, verse 34. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me in. Those 3 things are standard in the Oriental hospitality industry, I nearly can say. So if you are in that area, the people will give you food if you need food. They will give you water if you need water. And they will give you a place to stay. It's standard. That was nothing new. That was reasonable for them to give it when it was necessary. But then he says, I was naked. Naked not meaning that he was totally naked, meaning that he only had 1 tunic, and then you give something more so that he has got more to put on. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And there we can see that the people were doing things which is more than what is standard, what was acceptable in that community at that time. And then the righteous will answer him and saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and or thirsty and gave you a drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So this is what God is asking us, that we must look after our brethren. people on the left. Jesus tells to those people on the left to depart from him in the everlasting fire. And then Jesus says to them, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And then they will also answer him and say, Lord, but when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them saying, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus is telling them, all of us, we've got opportunities in our lives that we can do those things, that we meet people who need it, and that we can give it to them. It's not only the physical. In our case, I think it is more the spiritual side, that we can tell them about the gospel, that we can pray for them, that we can say, but this is what God wants me to do. And ask God, God, what do you want me? What must I do with my colleague? What must I do with the person sitting next to me at the university? What must I do with my neighbors? And then God will tell you. And then you use that opportunity. We've got to show mercy to the suffering people because they are Christians. We first have got to look at our own people. And we've got to care for our own people. And as I'm at that level, of a dead point at the moment, I want to send you regards of our son. He's busy with a divorce case because his wife does not want to be married to a Christian. He said to me, please send my regards to my brothers and sisters. Those are you. We are his brothers and sisters. We are his family. He's getting divorced because his wife does not want to be married to a Christian. She's Islam, she doesn't want to be married to a Christian. He's busy with the process, he's not staying in Utrecht at the moment. But those are the type of people we also have got to care for. And if the Lord is putting it on your heart that you should pray for him, pray for him. He needs prayer. We also ask to show mercy to suffering people because they are not Christians. So it's actually two circles. The one is those who are inside the church, but also those outside the church. Because if there's a person sitting at Albert Heijn asking for a bread, you're not going to ask him, did you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes, then I'll give you. No. If the Lord puts you on your heart and you give him a bread and butter as well and some peanut butter. We've got to love God's children, but we've got to love our enemies as well. And we've got to do good to both of them. And it's not only the things, the material things, but more important, specifically here in Utrecht, the spiritual things. Do good to your brother, but also to your neighbor. The purpose statement from Shofar is to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. And this is what we do at this church, and this is what we want to do at this church. We want to help you with that. So that you're going to go into life that you know what has got to be done. And this sermon is part of it. The things what we're doing with the encounters, what we're doing with small group, what we're doing with other courses, even the family day and planted and so on, it's all about getting closer to God. Hear what God is telling us to do. Share with other people. Strengthen each other. Keep each other awake. That we can do what God wants us to do. The video clip what you saw just now from Empowerment 21. Empowerment 21 is a type of an umbrella organization where Shofar is member of. You're going to see more of those videos to come before Pentecost in 2020. That's where people from all over the world come together and they've got just one thing, get the gospel to the people. It's the great commandment. Tell the other people. And we want to do it as well. We want to do it through disciple making and leadership development and also through church planting. And we want to assist you over here. We're not a church as an entertainment. Sorry. The coffee and the tea is fine, but we're not in the entertainment industry. We want to hear what God tells us, and we're serious about it. There may be other churches who say, but yeah, it's very important and you can't be that harsh. It's life or death. It's asleep or awake. There's nothing in between. There's no gray area. And we've got to tell other people of how important Jesus is in our lives. And that relationship with God must be nearly as important as what we need food, as what we need water, as what we need oxygen, and as what we need sleep. Those things our body is telling that we need it. And then we go and eat, or we go and drink some water, or we take a breath, or go for a sleep. But that relationship with God has got to come from us. It must actually, there must be a craving from us for it, that we say, but I want to spend time with God. I don't want to spend time with other things, which is stealing time of me, but I want to be with God, and I want to spend time with God, because that has got eternal value. And we've got to identify those things in our lives, that we say, okay, but what is stealing time from me? What is taking me away? What's dragging me in that I have got a chance that I'm going to fall asleep again, that I'm not awake, and that I'm not watchful, and that I'm not continuously busy with God's things? And we've got to get, if we get into that sleep, we also have got to get out of that sleep, and we have got to be continuously awake, and we've got to keep each other awake. That's also with the small groups and here on the Sunday and so on. Keep ourselves awake, that we're doing what God wants us to do. And then you're most probably going to ask, but where do we start? And that's why I've put a card plus a pen on your seat today. Actually, Urbanus did it for me. And I'm going to ask you now, and I'm going to do it a little bit different now. I'm going to ask that you're going to look for a person who you do not know. Take your card and your pen and go and sit with that person and say, this is the person, and just mention one name. Just write one name down. That's for the practice, but that you're going to start with it, that we're going to start praying for other people, that we're going to get in the habit that the relationship with God is not only for us. The relationship for God is that God can, through us, get in contact with other people. But we've got to pray. Go and sit with somebody you do not know or not know that well and just say, this is the name I wrote down. Just say for what, if it is a relation, if it is a family member, if it's a colleague or anything like that. You're just the two of you, just pray together for that specific person, and then I'm going to carry on then with the altar calls. That we pray, that we're going to start with praying. And that card you're going to fill in other names as well. Ask God for whom you've got to pray. And then start doing it. Start praying for it. Because we heard it before. Watch, pray. We've got to be continuously awake, and we've got to pray. And that we pray for other people, that they're also going to be saved, that they're also going to have a living relationship with God, that they also can hear from God, and that God's kingdom can grow on this earth. So please have a look for somebody who you do not know that well. It's going to be a little bit chaotic, but I don't mind. Then you can also meet somebody else. Thank you. This is now where you prayed for one name. And I'm going to ask you to take the card and a pen to take it home. Write more names in it. Ask God for whom you've got to pray. Get used to it, to do it. Start your day and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What must I do at work? For whom must I pray? Must I, for that mad boss of mine, must I make him a cup of coffee? No, you don't put salt in it, you put sugar in it. That student who's sitting next to you, where you can see something is happening over there, ask God if you've got to pray for healing. But try to get used to it, to be used. So that relationship with God is going to, that what you've got with Him is going to flow through to benefit the others. That's why we are here on the world, and that's where we're going to be judged for as well. We're going to be on the left, or we're going to be on the right. There's nothing in between. You can say, oh, wait a moment till I'm a little bit older. I'm telling you, I'm a little bit older. Start as soon as possible is what you can. I wish I would have started immediately, but for certain things only become with age, like, for instance, good wine and things like that. But God wants to use us. And this is just a very simple tool to start with it. Just to remind you, put that one in your purse or put it at a place or put it maybe in your mirror so in the morning when you're brushing your teeth and with your one eye open it, you can say, oh, yeah, wait a moment, I've got to pray for those or two or three people. And all of us had one. Am I correct? So all of us, God put one name on your heart this afternoon. Then God can put more on your heart and that we can be used for making a difference. Then on the outside, we're not going to be like a church which is alive and on the inside dead, but we're going to be a church which is alive on the outside and which is alive on the inside. Because we want to hear and we want to do what God is telling us to do. We want to have that living relationship and we want to obey what God is telling us to do.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.